Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
We knew who the bad guys were and where they were. And let's face it, back in those days, we kind of liked our enemy. I mean, nobody today ever goes into a bar and orders a white Taliban. We'll ask how you can tell things are getting chilly again, plus legendary musician Booker T. Jones plays our game, and Bill Curtis turns up his nose at the idea of us walking over to this theater.
More rats running through the streets? It's ridiculous.
We'll ask where the vermin are on our quiz coming up after this hour's news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. A plane believed to be carrying Edward Snowden, the former NSA contractor charged with espionage, landed in Moscow today. Susan Armitage reports he isn't expected to be in Russia for long.
Russian news agencies say a source at the Aeroflot airline confirmed Snowden was on the flight, which landed shortly after 5 p.m. Moscow time. The ITAR-TASS news agency reports he's ticketed for a flight to Cuba tomorrow afternoon, with plans for travel onward to Venezuela. Another Russian news agency, Interfax, says Snowden doesn't have a visa, which is required to enter the country, and has booked a room to stay at the airport terminal overnight. There are news reports of diplomatic vehicles parked at the airport, but it's not clear if they were there to meet Snowden. For NPR News, I'm Susan Armitage in Moscow.
The Afghan government says it's still willing to go forward with peace talks with the Taliban at their office in Doha. NPR's Sean Carberry reports the Afghan government wants the Taliban and the U.S. to agree to several conditions before a meeting.
Afghan Foreign Ministry spokesman Janan Mosazai says that the U.S. had given written assurances the Taliban office in Doha would only be used for peace talks and
that it would not be used for terrorist activities, that it would not be used for violence, that it would not be used for raising funds.
Mosazai says that when the Taliban opened their office last week, they treated it like a government embassy. He says that only if the Taliban agree to the initial constraints will the Afghan government send representatives to Qatar. However, the Taliban have expressed that they still want to meet with U.S. officials in Doha before they speak with the Afghan government. Sean Carberry, NPR News, Doha.
Taliban fighters are taking responsibility for an attack early this morning in Pakistan at a camp at one of the highest mountains in the world. Officials say gunmen wearing police uniforms robbed foreign tourists and then shot them dead. 9 tourists died, along with their Pakistani guide. 1 tourist from China escaped. Albanians are voting in parliamentary elections today. They're being widely watched as a barometer of the country's progress towards joining the European Union. The BBC's Guy Delaney has more.
Since the fall of communism in 1991, Albania has never held an election deemed fully free and fair. Another failure would further set back its ambitions to join the European Union. A dispute over the country's election commission already threatens to leave the result in doubt. The tension that built up during an acrimonious campaign, which was marred by allegations of coercion and vote rigging, appears to be manifesting itself in a number of incidents. In one constituency in the north, an opposition activist was killed and a local governing party politician was injured in a shootout near a polling station.
The BBC's Guy Delaney reporting. This is NPR News from Washington. Fire officials in southwestern Colorado say they're still hopeful they can protect South Fork, a popular summer retreat, from an approaching wildfire. The blaze is now 100 square miles. The town has been evacuated. Officials say it may be days until the 400 permanent residents and the hundreds of summer visitors will be allowed to return. The fire is one of 3 major blazes in the area sparked by lightning last week. The man known as the King of the High Wire plans to walk across the Grand Canyon later today. Native American tribes have mixed feelings about the stunt. From member station KJZZ in Flagstaff, Laurel Morales reports.
Nick Walenda will walk across a 2-inch thick wire 1,500 feet in the air, where winds have been gusting this week at 35 miles per hour. But Walenda says he's been training with wind machines and he feels ready. Northern Arizona American Indian tribes believe this gorge on Navajo land to be sacred, and the Hopi tribe has said if he falls, his death is their spiritual burden. The tribe has requested Willenda wear a safety harness, but he refuses.
I truly hope that when this walk is complete, that they will all be excited about this, the fact that it happened there. And it really is shining the light of the world on this area.
Willenda says his last walk across the Niagara Falls brought $25 million tourist dollars to that area. For NPR News, I'm Laurel Morales in Flagstaff.
An air show near Dayton, Ohio reopened today with a moment of silence to honor two performers who died yesterday. A plane crashed and burst into flames, killing the pilot and a wing walker. The cause of the crash is under investigation. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Cancer Treatment Centers of America, proud sponsor of StoryCorps, celebrating the power of listening.
From NPR and WBEZ, Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm legendary anchorman Bill Curtis. Fill again for Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you so much, everybody. We got a great show for you today. We got Booker T. Jones of Booker T. and the MGs. He's also the greatest soul session man ever. He's coming on to play our game. But first, can we take just a minute and pay tribute to a man who really became part of our lives, the founder and former CEO of Men's Warehouse, George Zimmer. You know who this guy is. He's the guy with the beard. He's the guy who said, "You're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it." He was ousted in a coup by the company's board, and apparently they didn't like the way he looked. So apparently, because Mr. Zimmer is gone, they're going to need a new spokesman, but mostly a new slogan. We have one for them.
You're going to like the way you look if you dim the lights and squint.
Whatever you're wearing, we'd like to hear from you. I guarantee it. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Afan from San Francisco.
You said Afan?
Afan.
Okay. I thought you said a fan, which would be flattering, but that's not the case.
The best way to remember it is, do you know what a baby deer is?
A baby deer is a doe? No, a baby deer is a fawn. A fawn. I grew up in New Jersey.
Peter, you lost on the first question.
I did, man.
Boy, when the shoe is on the other foot.
A fawn. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And let me introduce you to our panel this week. It's a great one. First, say hello to a comedian and the head writer of Comedy Central's Inside Amy Schumer. It's Jesse Klein is here.
Hello. Hello, Afan.
Next, it's a comedian and the winner of Last Comic Standing and the host of the Who's Paying Attention podcast, Alonzo Bowden.
How you doing?
Finally, it's a comedian whose CD, I Heart Jokes, is available in the few remaining stores that sell CDs. Paula Poundstone is here. Welcome to the show, Ado. Oh, wait.
It's okay, everyone.
Sorry. No one does that.
Everyone does.
Well, welcome to the show, Afan. You're going to play Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Castle, is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize, our co-host Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. You ready to go?
I'm so excited.
All right. Now, here's your first quote. It's from President Obama talking about another world leader.
We compared notes on his expertise in judo and my declining skills in basketball.
So, he was trying, you know, to make nice with a leader who wasn't having any of it. Who was it?
Mr. Putin?
Yes, President Putin of Russia. Very good.
Thank you.
This is at the G8 summit. President Obama, you heard there, was trying to lighten the mood with Mr. Putin at the G8 summit. The crowd laughed. Putin did not. Tensions are high there. Obama asked Russia to stop sending arms to the Syrian government. The Russians said, "Niet." Obama suggested a big cut in nuclear programs. The Russians said, "Hell, niet." They want to be our global antagonist again. They're tired of just being a source for small arms and mail-order brides. It was comfortable. It was fun to have the Russians as our enemy. You could make Rocky movies about them, too. Everybody had a good time. It's hard to imagine, for example, beating Al-Qaeda in the Olympic hockey. It's like, do you believe in miracles?
Yeah.
Like, for example, Al-Qaeda has a hockey team. That's crazy.
It's harder to have a miracle on sand. We're too scared to ask for that Super Bowl ring back.
Oh, yeah.
Did he really take this? This is a true story.
It's a true story. Robert Kraft, who is the owner of the New England Patriots, said that Putin stole his Super Bowl ring. He was visiting, I don't know what context, but he was visiting with Putin, and Putin said, "Oh, can I see your Super Bowl ring?" Which is encrusted with diamonds. It's a big deal. And Kraft says he handed it to him like you would, and Putin says, "Oh, very nice." Puts it in his pocket, walks away.
Well, puts it in his pocket and is then surrounded by like 7 KGB
right.
to form a human wall.
Right.
And then they just deny it ever happened, but
yes.
It happened in front of everyone.
And not only that, but the ring is back in Russia on display with other gifts that Putin got. This is true.
It's true.
But Putin says, "Oh, no, it was gift. It was gift to me."
It was gift. And then Kraft asked Obama, he literally asked Obama, "Can you help me get my ring back?"
Well,
as if my ex-boyfriend has my stuff or something. And then the White House was like, "Oh, it's too difficult right now."
Well, yeah, this is actually true.
No, but that's not the White House's role. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it should be
so easy. If the guy was stupid enough to give his ring and not say, "Well, give it back to me," isn't he a football guy? Doesn't he have big, burly guys with pads that can push him down?
I don't think Tom Brady's going over there.
Yeah. Not Brady, but you own a football team. You send a defensive line and say, "Hey, fellas, get my ring back." Like, how hard is that to do? You own a football team. I would go out and start fights if I owned a football team. What are you kidding?
Afon, you still with us? Your next quote is from a disgruntled New Yorker.
More rats running through the streets? It's ridiculous.
That man was talking to the Daily Beast about Mayor Michael Bloomberg's new plan to force New Yorkers to do what?
I have no idea.
Well, this
Poop-less?
Is... Say again?
Poop-less?
I'm sorry, hold on.
About your powerful leader.
Did you just say poop-less?
Yes.
In fairness to Afon,
yes.
Mayor Bloomberg is trying to get us to eat less.
I was going
to
say.
That is true. So it would be a natural result.
His soda ban.
No, this is a part of his environmental initiatives. It's great for gardens, if there were any gardens in New York.
I have no idea. I'm so sorry.
I'll just give you the answer. Mayor Bloomberg wants to mandate that people compost.
Oh, yes. I knew that.
We want to congratulate Mayor Bloomberg. He managed to find a way to make New York smell even worse. He wants to make composting food scraps and food waste mandatory in the city to make a kind of natural fertilizer. And just think about the bountiful, healthy crops that will grow from Chinese takeout boxes.
I think the 8 people in Manhattan who are rich enough to have backyards are not going to be bothered composting.
The idea is, just to explain.
I like the poop less idea better.
Yeah, it might be more effective. But the idea is you're not required to like compost it in your own home, which would be interesting in apartment buildings of a certain size. No, the idea is that people will be forced, instead of putting their food in the garbage, they'll be forced to put it in separate composting sites so it can be composted.
But New Yorkers don't eat in their apartments. Every apartment in New York, if you open the refrigerator, it's like an empty jar of mayonnaise and like a gun. That's what our
refrigerator is. Mayor Bloomberg's coming after them, too, I guess.
Well, if you would compost the gun and the mayonnaise.
All right, Afon. Now, you got one right with one to go. If you get this last one right, you'll still win. Here we go. Here is your last quote.
You are correct that he appears to be wearing the rank of a U.S. Navy commander. Our personnel records do not show a person of that name who currently serves in the Navy.
That was Lieutenant Commander Sarah Flaherty from the U.S. Navy addressing discrepancies about a beloved naval officer who apparently has been lying about his rank since he first went public in 1963. Who is it?
Naval officer.
I'll give you a hint. As punishment, he will be stripped of his crunch berries.
Oh.
Of his crunch berries?
Of his crunch berries.
Captain Crunch?
Captain Crunch, yes! Food Beast, which is a blog, not a chubby superhero, reports the three stripes in Horatio Magellan Crunch's uniform signify he's a commander and not a captain. Commander is not a bad title, but think about when he was just starting out, the teasing that must accompany being called Seaman Crunch.
Wait. Peter.
That's the title. In the Navy, when you start out.
How did you know that he has a name? He has a name beyond Captain Crunch?
Oh, yeah, he has a name.
Horatio?
Yeah.
Horatio
Magellan Crunch, named for Horatio Nelson, the great naval commander, and Ferdinand Magellan, the great explorer.
Oh, you don't have to tell me. I was... Where have you ever... Because I've eaten a lot of Captain Crunch. I can show you the roof of my mouth. I had surgery. I'd have skin replaced. I never saw his name. Where did you see his name?
Well, it's, you know, it's part of the material, the publicity material that General Mills puts out.
What publicity material that General Mills puts out?
Well, as
you
know... Do you
ever read books? Boy, when you're not finding out...
I mean, absolutely. There are people who look that kind of stuff up all the time. There are people who speak Ewok. Right? I mean, I could absolutely believe people would know Captain Crunch's
absolutely.
Name and would check on his rank and say that is incorrect.
Yes, I agree that I could see where there would be people like that, but he's standing right over there. This is a bit awkward.
Yeah. Bill, how did Afon do in our show?
He got 2 out of 3. Congratulations.
There
he
is.
Our panelists say, get lost. It's Bluff the Listener. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for homeownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. Lumber Liquidators, offering a variety of sustainably harvested flooring, including pre-finished and stained, at 1-800-HARDWOOD and Arizona State University online. More than 60 undergraduate and graduate online degree programs at radio.asu.edu. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Castle, and we're playing this week with Paula Poundstone, Jesse Klein, and Alonzo Bowden. Here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you so much. Right now, it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, it's Megan Tripp in Orlando.
Hey, Megan, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. What are you doing in Orlando?
I'm a technical communicator.
Technical communicator. What is that exactly?
I work for a software company.
Yeah.
So I explain what it does and how to use it.
Oh, I see. So are you basically like an IT person, a help desk person? I call up and I say, I can't make the Fliz job, do the face push. And you're like, oh, what you do is you press here.
No, but if you it would come up with an article explaining all about face push.
Okay.
Danger, Sarah.
Face push is already hashtagging.
I know.
It's totally trending.
Megan, welcome to the show. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Megan's topic?
Please, I'm not that kind of girl.
If you're a human female, you've put up with a lot of unwanted attention from guys. This week we read about a great new way to stop people from hitting on you. Our panelists are going to tell you about it. Guess the real creep deterrent. You'll win Carl's voice in your home answering machine or voicemail. Ready to play?
Sure.
First, let's hear from Alonzo Bowden.
Ladies, are you single? Do you want to stay that way? Do you just want to be left alone tonight? Unmatch.com is here to help you. The service works because everybody does the same thing when they meet an attractive person. They look them up online. If you've hired Unmatch.com, you're sure the person looking you up will immediately want to look away. Unmatch creates an entire online existence for you, carefully created to drive away the most ardent suitor. Apparently, complaints about your landlord not allowing 15 cats or taking a break from your 4 kids under 5 years old will slow any guy down. Any man that Googles you will come up with a planted news story about you, your bankruptcy, pending house arrest, or your obsessed ex who just got out of jail. Unmatch agrees there's no guarantee, but their service is like a car alarm. It won't guarantee security, but the thief would rather go after something that's not shrieking a warning signal.
Unmatch.com. Which creates an online profile for you that will drive anyone away. Your next story of a new way to tell people you're not interested comes from Paula Poundstone.
Some men don't always know when women would like to be approached, and women don't always know how to politely decline advances, which leaves a nice, juicy business opportunity for the makers of Thank You, Not Now, the truly foul-smelling atomizer. It's a simple device with a 3-button handheld component, each releasing a different repulsive smell, sold separately, including, what have you been eating? How many head of cattle do you own? How many head of cattle do you have with you? And what in the hell did you roll in? Women love being able to put off the common clumsy, are you ladies alone? With a quick fss and a, whoa, you know what? I'm sorry, I can see you're busy. It's available online at reallystinkystuffthatmakespeoplegoaway.com and at Bed Bath & Beyond in the Beyond.
Thank You, Not Now, the atomizer of scents sure to drive anyone away. Your last story of an unusual way to stay single comes from Jesse Klein.
Whether a woman's relaxing at the beach, shopping at the supermarket, or even recovering in the ICU, there's always a sketchy guy trying to talk to her about how awesome it would be to have sex with him. Thankfully, there is breaking news out of China this week that someone may have solved the problem. Women who really want to be left alone are now wearing what are described as, quote, anti-pervert leg hair stockings, which create the illusion of the wearer having hairy legs. And we're not just talking slightly unshaven hairy legs. We're talking thick, curly, male black hair. This is Saddam Hussein as he just came out of the spider hole hair. Burt Reynolds lying on a bear rug. Hairy legs. Worn with a skirt or even under a bathing suit, the stockings are guaranteed to ward off or even sicken most potential harassers. Sadly, what the maker of the stockings has not considered is the fact that no matter what weird thing a woman does with her body, there will always be an even weirder man who digs it.
All right. One of these was something we found designed to help women avoid unwanted attention. From Alonzo Bowden, it is at a web service called Unmatched.com that creates a terrible online profile for you. From Paula Poundstone, a handheld atomizer that can spray any one of three unpleasant scents to drive anyone away. Or from Jesse Klein, stockings that make your legs look disgustingly hairy so as to avoid unwanted male attention. Which of these are the real device or service meant to keep unwanted suitors away?
I'll go with the hair stocking.
You're going to go with a hair stocking. All right. All right, your choice then is Jesse's story. Well, we spoke to somebody who had an opinion about this real story.
If I could wear hairy leg stockings to make my bodega man stop winking at me, I would wear hair stockings.
That was Colette McIntyre of the feminist blog The Jane Doe talking how much she would like to get a pair of those Chinese hairy pantyhose. You were correct. Jesse had the right story, the real one. That means you've earned a point for Jesse just for being truthful, and you have won our game. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your home voicemail. Well done!
Thanks.
Thank you.
Now I've got hairy legs and hiking boots walking by my side. You think that it might slow me down, but she's got quite a stride.
And now the game where we ask someone who's done a lot of great things to do one very silly thing. That is, play Not My Job. Do you love music? I mean great American music by Otis Redding or Ray Charles or Willie Nelson or Bob Dylan or even the band Rancid. Well, if you do, you love Booker T. Jones. He played with all those musicians as well as his own classic soul band Booker T. and the MGs. 50 years after his first hit record, he's still playing. We're delighted to have him with us. Booker, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So you became famous as Booker T when you came out with your record Green Onions, Booker T and the MGs. I thought that when you started with Booker T and the MGs, you were sort of a grizzled session musician. You've been doing it for years. You were almost a teenager, right?
I was a grizzled session musician. I was just 15.
Yeah. So you had this instrumental record that came out. The hit single was Green Onions. And in fact, for people to recognize it, we'll play a little bit of it right now. So first of all, that's like one of the most famous instrumental songs out of the 60s. Did you come up with that? Did you just sitting around noodling on the organ?
Yeah, playing the piano, actually, before I got into the studio on the organ. Yeah, I was playing on the piano around my mom's house. Yeah.
And then, how did you name it? Why Green Onions?
Well, the bass player thought it was so funky, he wanted to call it Funky Onion. And they thought that was a pretty crass title, so they decided to call it Green Onions after the smell of, the green onions.
Sure, that makes perfect sense.
I think you went with the right title.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And you went on and you played backup, you played as a studio musician for like everybody who was recording with Stax, the great soul label of the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me who you played with.
Otis Redding, Sam and Dave, Wilson Pickett, Eddie Floyd, Albert King, Carla Thomas, Booker T and the MGs.
Of course. And this is crazy, because again, I mean, all I had heard about you is you were like this great studio musician, and I imagine this certain lifestyle, and I found out for a lot of those years, you were doing that while you were going to college.
I did.
So
I was a mad crazy Friday afternoon student driving back to Memphis, 400 miles, between Bloomington and Memphis, yeah.
Oh, you were at Indiana University.
Yeah, I was studying. I got a degree in music education, but I did study composition and conducting, theory, stuff like that.
Right. And then on Friday, when your fellow Indiana University students would go out to party and go to their frat houses, you'd get in your car, drive 400 miles, and play for like the greatest soul musicians who ever lived.
Most of the time, that's what I did.
Did the other students, I mean...
Thank you.
Did the other students know this? Because that...
They did. Yeah, I was a famous kid on campus. I had a Fairlane convertible, and I got to play gigs around campus.
All right, I'm just going to ask you this question straight out. Did the chicks dig it? Did you say, oh, well, hey, maybe I'll see you when I get back from playing with Otis Redding?
Well, I didn't throw it out like that, but yeah, that was it.
Now, you left Stax, I guess, in like around 1970, but you've gone on to play with everybody. I mentioned a bunch of them. Willie Nelson you played with. You played with Bob Dylan, right?
Yep. And, I bought a ranch in Malibu, and Bob had a ranch across the street.
Wait a minute. Because I was going to ask how you ended up working with him, but you're just saying, like, you had a ranch in Malibu, he had a ranch in Malibu. One day, you come down to get your mail, I guess. There's Bob Dylan, and he says, hey, Booker, and you say, hey, Bob. And
well, everybody just sort of kind of knew everybody out there. You know, it was a small community out there in Malibu.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You lived on a ranch?
Yeah, I bought Lana Turner's old ranch out there on Winding Way in Malibu.
And did you raise something on the ranch?
Yeah, I had horses and ponies. And
wow. Yeah. Nice.
So for any kid in algebra class right now, this session musician thing pays pretty good, huh?
Well, if you're lucky, it does, yeah.
You've had vast success, of course, over the years, but we read that there was like one short period, like maybe in like the end of the 70s, around 1980, when things weren't going that well, and you actually dabbled with becoming a real estate agent. Is that right?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I sold real estate in San Fernando Valley. I wasn't dabbling. I was a serious real estate agent.
When you were selling a house, and you were like, hi, I'm Booker T. Jones, and I'm going to be selling you this house, and did anybody ever go, wait a minute?
Yeah.
Really?
It did. Absolutely, yeah. Are you the Booker T? Are you the Booker T? You know, yeah.
And then what did you say?
And then I said I'd have to play a tune to prove it.
Well, Booker T. Jones, we are delighted to have you with us, and we've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Because Funyuns are awesome.
Your famous hit was Green Onions, but that sounds suspiciously natural for modern America. We prefer Funyuns, the crunchy junk food that actually features real onion powder way down on its list of ingredients. We're going to ask you three questions about Funyuns from Frito-Lay. Get two right, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on the home answering machine. Bill,
is that a real food? That's not a real food.
Funyuns. Next time you go into the supermarket, just ask to go down to the disgusting section, and there will be, next to the other Fritos and potato chips, there will be Funyuns.
Okay, if you say so. Yeah, Funyuns, yeah. Okay.
So who is Booker playing for, Bill?
C.J. Pleiter of Villa Park, Illinois.
All right, here we go. Now, okay. Funyuns were invented back in the 60s, and but the name Funyuns was the second choice for the new snack food. What was the original choice? What do they want to name them? Was it A, Onion Hoops, B, Onyums, or C, Funster McFunfuns?
That would be Onion Hoops.
You're going to go for Onion Hoops?
Delicious
Onion Hoops? No, I'm afraid it was actually, the original name they wanted was Onyums. Unyums.
Onyums.
Unyums.
I knew that.
You knew that.
Three minutes ago,
you didn't know that Funyuns existed. Now you're telling me you know about Onyums. But believe it or not...
I was putting you on. I did know.
All right. All right. No, it was the original. The name they wanted was Onyums, but another product had been invented that was given that name. It's amazing to think that more than one person thought of these things. All right. Next question. One of these things I'm about to describe was once found in a Funyuns bag by an unsuspecting customer. Was it A, a live badger, B, an actual whole onion, or C, an enormous Funyun the size of your forearm?
It was C.
You're right.
An enormous Funyun the size.
That's exactly true. See, the way Funyuns are made, you see, is they're extruded in a tube out of a machine, and then they're sliced into little rings. But apparently one came all the way out and didn't get sliced, so it just ended up being this enormous Funyun tube that really is very disturbing to look at.
Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing no one would guess that there was an onion found in a bag of spring?
No. That's unlikely.
Okay.
Now, I'm sure in your day, you wrote a lot of songs about food, and in fact, Funyuns have shown up in popular music. Which of these actual lyrics? A, the original words to Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot were, "My anaconda don't want none unless you got Funyuns." B, this line from Bon Jovi, "She knows how to make my motor run with just lingerie and a bag of Funyuns." Or C, from the Insane Clown Posse, "Bring me some Funyuns and a Slurpee, promise not to hurt me or give me herpes."
That would be B. "She knows how to make my motor run with only a bag of Funyuns."
Really?
Yeah.
Have you ever played with Bon Jovi and your met the man?
Absolutely, at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He did that song.
Wait a minute. He actually sang a song that mentioned Funyuns at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Absolutely did.
Well, I don't know what to say, because the real answer was actually C. And
I knew that.
You knew that?
I just want to see if you're listening.
So here's the thing. So yeah, that the Insane Clown Posse, the song is called To Catch a Predator, and it mentions Funyuns. So Bill, I mean, Booker is telling us that he heard John Bon Jovi sing those very lyrics. So I look to you, Bill, what do we do here?
You know, he convinced me.
All right, then.
What a salesman.
Well, I guess so. So how did he do then, Bill?
Well, technically, he got a couple wrong.
But!
And one right. But being the Hall of Famer he is.
How can you say no?
Why don't we say, what a great salesman.
There you are. Congratulations. Booker T. Jones is a Grammy-winning Rock and Roll Hall of Fame legend. His new album, Sound the Alarm, is out on June 25th. Booker T. Jones, what a pleasure to talk to you. And thanks for those years of great music.
Thank you, Peter. I had a good time.
Thank you, Booker.
Thank you so much.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Kobo, whose Kobo Mini is a pocket-sized e-reader for reading on the go. Available at independent bookstores, store locator at indiebound.org. Chevrolet, maker of the Volt, an electric car with a gas generator to help drivers charge forward. Details at chevyvolt.com. Pimsleur Language Program, celebrating 50 years in 2013 and offering portable audio courses in 50 languages, pimsleur.com. And eSurance, an Allstate company, with a network of repair shops to handle car insurance claims and provide photos of their progress at eSurance.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Alonzo Bowden, Jesse Klein, and Paula Poundstone. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you so much. In just 1 minute, Bill says, despite all the bad things, he admired Mussolini because he made the trains run on rhyme. You're welcome. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge coming up. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Jesse, in response to the rising demand for locally sourced artisanal food, fast food companies are now doing what?
Oh, I actually do know the answer to this question. I think they're faking making the food look like it was made by people.
Right. Making the food look imperfect.
But even though it's still made by a machine,
right.
They're basically saying this Egg McMuffin is a shape that shouldn't occur in nature. So let's rough up the edges of scotch. But it's still made by a robot that's been dead for a million years.
That's exactly right, because people are getting more and more interested in handmade artisanal food, whatever. So fast food companies like McDonald's and Domino's are hiring food engineers to make their food artificially look natural.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll appeal to the people who like their food that looks like it was made by a blind hippie on a deadline. So instead of, you know, McDonald's famous perfectly round egg discs in the Egg McMuffin, like you said, or Domino's geometrically perfect pizzas, the fast food will come with rough, uneven edges and bits of char to give it the appearance of being handmade in a factory full of artisanally shaped food molds.
I worked in fast foods, and I always made mine look like someone had touched them.
I just think it's funny the idea that any of these companies think that there's some like very dedicated foodie who's ordering from Domino's. You know what I mean? Like, just someone who really cares about local ingredients and then is like, yeah, I'll get an Oreo pizza.
Jesse, it's hard to wake up in the morning, we all know. Well, a new alarm clock promises to get us out of bed once and for all. What does it do if you don't get up?
Ugh, I already don't want it. So there's a threat involved.
There's a threat. If you don't get up, go over to the alarm clock and turn it off. It will do something.
Ugh. It will shoot poison at your face.
If you sleep in, you'll be well rested but broke.
So, it'll debit your money from you.
No, it's. I'll give you another hint. It's got a paper shredder built in.
It will shred cash.
It will shred your cash. This is how it works. You're somebody, you've tried everything to get out of bed in the morning, nothing works. You've drunk hot coffee, you've poured hot coffee in your pants, you've released a pack of hungry wolves into your bedroom, like, nothing's worked. Well, Seattle inventor Rich Olson has invented an alarm clock. It's got a little paper shredder, and you put in some money, $1 bill, $50 bill, $100 bill, whatever you need to motivate yourself, right? And if you sleep in and the alarm goes off and you do not get up, walk over and turn off the alarm within like a minute, fires up, shreds your money.
Honestly, I have to say, if it's that hard for you to wake up in the morning, I'm assuming you don't have any money. I mean, it's not that hard.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our show this August 29th at Tanglewood in the Music Shed in Massachusetts. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, I'm Andrew calling from Oakville.
Where is Oakville?
Oakville's a suburb of Toronto.
You're a Canadian.
Indeed, I am.
Oh, wow, that's very exciting.
For some people.
I can't tell you how the sound of your dimes dropping into the coin return in a soda machine is like embedded in my brain.
They
you know,
that
disappointing clink.
You have no idea.
When you realize, oh, for Christ's sake, it was the only dime I had. And you keep trying it again, thinking maybe the machine won't realize. And then, ding, 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 ding.
Andrew, could you do something about that, maybe? First, Andrew, want to welcome you to the show. Bill Curtis is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you will be a winner.
Beautiful.
Ready to go?
Definitely.
Here is your first limerick.
Our pet sent us postcards from Prague. We met someone sniffing a log. We tried to go over. Instead, we sent Rover. Our vacation funds spent on our...
dog?
Yes! New York's Paw Seasons Dog Hotel is offering a luxury dog vacation for the low, low price of $70,000. That gets your dog massages, a designer wardrobe for their stay, grooming, and a chauffeur, which is French for a dog walker in a tuxedo. Alternatively, you can keep the $73,000 and let your dog roll around in the spot where that bird died. Just as happy.
Wow.
All I want to know is why in the world didn't they call their luxury hotel for dogs the Fur Seasons?
Oh, Peter.
This is the fourth time you've gotten that reaction.
Are you keeping count?
Just a little hash mark here.
Okay,
on the
I understand.
I just think about the person who has to massage a dog, and just I think about them just seeing their whole life run in front of them the whole time, just like, how am I massaging a dog? Like, I'm the one who has to, like, the dog is getting the massage. I'm massaging the dog. The dog's on vacation. I'm working. Massaging a dog.
I've always thought that that's like the greatest con in the world. That you sold some, somebody's paying you to massage a dog. Like, people pet dogs all day long.
Yeah.
But I'm not petting your dog. I'm massaging your dog.
So you think they're happy?
And that's going to cost you $500 an hour.
Yeah. Well,
they're happy because you only sell right. that service to a rich person. Nobody's saving up money to get the dog massaged.
Right.
Here, Andrew, is your next limerick.
The gifts that I give look like crap. I think paper and tape are a trap. But I found a role that I can control. Now, presents, I'm able to...
wrap.
Yes, indeed. Men can do a lot of things. We can eat. We can think about eating. We can regret eating. But one thing men cannot do is wrap presents successfully. You know this. You've seen presents wrapped by men. They don't look good. Fortunately, now there is the Man Wrap. That is a device that helps men wrap presents without need for coordination or giving a damn about how you wrap a present. The makers promise Man Wrap 2.0 will help the man remember to buy the present in the first place.
They've had Man Wrap in every store for years. Up on the top floor in the back by the restrooms, there's an old lady, and you pay her $5 and she wraps the present.
Yeah. Here is your last limerick.
As I'm running around city blocks, my feet are absorbing the shocks. The miles I've forgotten are stored in white cotton. A computer's sewn into my...
socks.
Socks, yes. You said that with such resignation. If you've been looking for the world's most bitter computer chip, look no further than the one that got sewn into Sensoria, the new computerized sock. It gives you data on how much you've walked and calories burned, plus thermal data on the dark dystopian hellscape that is the inside of your old running shoes. So, Bill, how did Andrew do on our show?
Well, you know, he gets good news because he won.
Yes, he did. Well done, Andrew. Meaning you'll win our prize. We'll have one of the few editions of Carl Castle's Voice in Canada. Good luck, and thanks so much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Great job, Andrew.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer is now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Paula and Alonzo have 2. That's a tie. Jesse has 3.
Oh, very good. We flipped a coin. Paula has elected to go first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. The NSA this week said its surveillance techniques had helped prevent 50 blanks.
Terrorist attacks.
Right. Stocks plunged Thursday after blank hinted that stimulus aid may end.
Ben Bernanke.
Right. A hitman testifying against Boston gangster blank this week said he was heartbroken when he discovered he was an informant.
Whitey Bulger.
Right. The winner of a parenting blog's best baby hair contest has been accused of blanking.
Best baby hair. Using a wig.
Yes. In what People magazine is calling a dramatic delivery, blank blank Dashian and blank yay blank had a baby girl.
Oh my. Kim Kardashian and Yeezus.
I believe that's what he's calling himself, so yes, Kanye West. Although Miss Connecticut won the crown, Miss Utah stole headlines for her flubbed answer in the blank pageant.
In the Miss USA?
Exactly right. Police in Paris, France are questioning a 52-year-old mother who helped her daughter with a college entrance exam by blanking.
By hiring someone else to write it.
No, by dressing up as her daughter herself and taking the exam for her.
Oh, I failed as a parent.
It's that time of year in France when teenagers sharpen their numéro deux pencils and lie to their parents about studying. But one unnamed 19-year-old wasn't worried because her mother put on a pair of Converse sneakers, jeans, and lots of makeup and successfully snuck into a Paris exam hall until she was caught by the one supervisor who wasn't drunk on red wine in the middle of the day. Bill, how did Paula do in our quiz?
Well, Paula got 6 right for 12 more points. She now has 14 and the lead.
Well done. All right. All right. Alonzo, you're up next. Fill in the blank. Best known for his role as TV's Tony Soprano, blank died while vacationing in Italy on Wednesday.
James Gandolfini.
Yes, indeed. A bipartisan group of senators reached an agreement on border security Thursday, strengthening the chances that a blank bill will pass.
Dream Act? Immigration,
yes. In testimony this week, FBI Director Robert Mueller admitted that the FBI uses blank for domestic surveillance.
Drones.
Yes. A mother and son crime duo in Minnesota have been arrested for stealing nearly $5,000 worth of blank.
I have no idea. Candy?
No, frozen gopher feet. Don't ask me why
that's not candy?
Apparently not. Even in Minnesota. The daughter of former Yankees manager Joe Torre made news this week when she caught a blank.
Baby.
Yes, a falling baby from a fire escape. A Washington, D.C. cyclist ran a red light into a taxi during a blank.
Parade?
No, during a ride to promote bicycle safety. The bike safety riding party was supposed to be your typical bike safety ride with boring riders being safe. But thanks to one rogue rider, it turned into a do-as-I-say-not-as-I-do ride as the rider swerved around other bikers, blew through lights, and slammed into a cab. Organizers say that's not what they intended, but it's a great new twist. Coming up next, their special Drink Responsibly beer crawl, which traditionally ends in jail. Bill, how did Alonzo do on our quiz?
He got 4 right for 8 more points, a total of 10, but Paula still has the lead with 14.
So how many then does Jesse need to win?
She needs 6.
She needs 6 to win. Here we go, Jesse. This is for the game. In a surprise win, cleric Hassan Rouhani was elected as the new president of blank.
Iran.
Right. After their excavation of a Michigan field failed to turn up anything, the FBI ended its most recent search for blank.
Hafa.
Right. After the Taliban announced plans to open an office in Qatar, officials in blank canceled plans for peace talks on Thursday.
Officials in Afghanistan.
Right. On Tuesday, the American Medical Association voted to classify blank as a disease.
Obesity.
Right. A trial in Britain was put on hold because one of the jurors blanked.
Died.
No. Smelled so bad the other jurors couldn't concentrate.
You should have had that.
Though there are more than 3 years until the next election, this week Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill endorsed blank for president.
Hillary.
Yes. To make flying even more fun, American Airlines and Ryanair both announced plans this week to add more blanks to the planes.
Bathrooms.
Seats. The mother of a recent college graduate was dismayed when her request for a cake that featured a picture of her daughter with a cap on her head instead came with blank.
Oh, man. On her head. Peter?
No.
Peter, is that the right answer?
No, it was...
No?
The cake came with a picture of her daughter with a cat on her head.
Sorry about that.
Could have happened to anyone.
Could have.
So this caps and cats misunderstanding at the bakery recalls a similar story from 2007 when an aspiring gang member was told he'd need to put a cap in a rival's ass and Well, the story did not end happily for anyone involved, especially the cat. Bill, how did Jesse do in our quiz?
Jesse needed 6, but she got just 5. So, with 14 points, the winner is Paula Pound! Oh, yeah.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists, now that he's out of a job, to predict what is next for former Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. But first, let me tell you that support for our Chicago shows is provided by Hyatt Hotels in downtown Chicago. Booking information is at Hyatt.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations, and Progressive, offering policyholders the option to bundle home and auto insurance coverage. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Ally Bank, who believes intelligent news and knowledgeable customer service should be available around the clock. Learn more at AllyBank.com. And Subaru, introducing the all-new 2014 Forester. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Learn more at Subaru.com. And the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for home ownership. More at HouseLogic.com/homeownership. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Summer Hours Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Assistant house manager is Tyler James Green. Our intern is Mr. Miles Dernboss. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Larchick and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillock. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will Mahmoud Ahmadinejad do next with his time? Alonzo Bowden.
Well, after a failed attempt to be cast in Hangover 4, he's going on a world basketball and dictator tour with Dennis Rodman.
There you go. Jesse Klein.
I think we have a new spokesman for Men's Warehouse.
And Paula Poundstone.
He's thrilled to be out of the other job so that he can spend more time devoting to his passion project, the Tehran LGBT Support Center.
And if Ahmadinejad does any of those things, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks to also to Alonzo Bowden, Jesse Klein, and Paula Poundstone. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. Next week we'll be coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. This is NPR.
Support for WPLN comes from the Adventure Science Center, where visitors can explore inside the human body, climb to the top of Adventure Tower, see a laser show in the planetarium, and more. Open every day. Information is at AdventureScienceCenter.org.
This is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML, Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS, Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 12 o'clock.
It's The Splendid Table from APM, American Public Media. I'm Lynn Rossetto Casper. In the 1960s, a child asked a question of Buckminster Fuller, the brilliant architect and thinker. Now, the question was, why does wood burn? Fuller answered that the tree's leaves absorbed the light of the sun and stored it in its trunk as it grew, so that what you see when that wood burns